Hello, and welcome to show number 2533 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
My husband and I are both blind. We've had several moves. I moved 5 times with my family before entering college, and then moved from college to get a teaching job, then moved from there to marry my husband. Then we moved with successful employment through various times in our life. Then the last move we made was when I retired in 2017. We moved here to Washington to be with daughters who married Washingtonians.
And that was Judy Jones, one of several listeners who helped contribute to this show. And that sets the stage for what we'll be talking about.
Much as we think we've moved around a bunch, some of our listeners have way more experience in this department than we do. Moving into a new home and community can present unique challenges for blind individuals. We'll share tips and suggestions from our listeners and talk about choosing an accessible community, mapping unfamiliar spaces, the importance of planning ahead and being organized, as well as about mobility techniques that ensure safety and independence. But first, for our tip of the week. Well, as you can imagine, although we solicited input from our listeners, we also managed to get some from Gemini, an AI tool. And it suggested, when you first move into a new home, before the furniture arrives or is fully in place, take the opportunity to slowly and deliberately walk through every room. Use a cane or trailing technique to truly get a feel for the dimensions, wall placements, and any potential obstacles. For those with low vision, this is also a great time to notice natural light sources and any contrasting features of the architecture. This initial empty house exploration can be incredibly helpful for building your mental map of the space, even before you start arranging your belongings.
And that really helps set your baseline before you start loading up the place with all your belongings.
And if that doesn't work, you can always use what listener Anne LaFleur coined as the bump method. She wrote, "I'm still feeling the walls and furniture and using the bump method, like when I bump into the coffee table." Maybe not your first choice of how to navigate, but it works. It certainly happens.
It does happen.
Gemini went on to suggest that you might consider creating a tactile map of your home or the neighborhood or whatever new spaces are going to be important to you.
And Nancy did that for each of our moves, making a tactile map for me of the inside of the house, the basic layout of the walls and doors, as well as some of the streets surrounding our neighborhood, so I knew what was around us. So I found that very helpful. And speaking of the outside and other accommodations in and near the house, Judy Jones has another suggestion for us.
If you get the chance to do a walkthrough, you can do this with a realtor. Do a couple of them. Ask questions. Use your cane and ask questions like, where's the breaker box, the utility shutoffs, trash cans, the dumpster, those kind of things. Mailboxes, if they're not right at your house or your apartment. Of course, you need to know where the bus stop is so you can catch that bus to go to and from work, shopping, whatever. And the manager's office. Ask about that if that's applicable to your situation.
Those are also great suggestions from Judy that, you know, I hadn't first thought of. You know, you may know the house and all, but what happens if something happens with the water? There's a leak. You need to know how to turn off the water in the house. You certainly want to know where the mailbox is, and maybe someone didn't tell you where the mailbox was. In our last house, you actually had to walk around the block to find the collective mailboxes for the neighborhood. So it wasn't in an obvious place to find.
Well, that mailbox was nowhere near the house, but it did provide a good excuse for a nice walk after dinner.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
First Aid for the Blind, teaching blind and vision-impaired clients important life skills through live video training from blind instructors. The purpose of FAFTB's training is to replace the fear of the unknown with feelings of hope and confidence. More information is at FAFTB.com.
And by
Biped AI, the Swiss startup behind Noa, an all-in-one mobility tool worn on the shoulders. Noa provides audio GPS instructions, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings in real time using its live AI feature. More information is available at biped.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by talking about finding a new community that will meet your needs. And as the realtors say, location, location, location. Well, location takes on a new meaning when you can't see, because getting from where you're living to where you need to get can be a challenge.
And I've always selected my locations to be in places where I knew I had access to work, community events, friends, etc. That's very important.
Judy Jones has some important comments to consider about getting around from your new home.
First of all, when considering a move, if you haven't already done so, explore your transit options at the destination location. Very important to find out so you can be strategic about what you're going to do and keep your independence. If you don't have transportation, like mass transit, decide what transit options that the county, city, wherever you are, has, and make good use of those.
And these days, you need to include ride shares as an option that didn't used to exist. You know, when we were moving 20, 30 years ago, that wasn't an option. But now there's Lyft, there's Uber, and sometimes they're even subsidized by your local transit organization if you're blind.
Many cities and counties have accessible ride services specifically geared to people with physical problems such as blindness. So you should check those out in your own community.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is selecting and creating a safe home for yourself. And one of the really important messages that Gemini provided is that a predictable environment is a safer environment.
So that means good organization, make sure you set the furniture where you want it to be, that's safe for you walking around, that's easy to navigate, and that you won't be crashing into.
Now, another of our listeners pointed out that sometimes you don't even have to move to run into the challenges of having moved. And as Ashley Breger says, the challenge for me is when Christmas rolls around and my parents, with whom I live, move the furniture without telling me.
Isn't that the old joke about how they used to punish Helen Keller? They'd move the furniture around on her? I guess that's happened to us all.
I like to think I don't do that to you.
You're very good about putting things back where they belong, pushing in chairs, etc. But I still walk into things.
Oh, isn't that the truth? And heaven help us if there's anyone else in the building, because they leave chairs out too.
The bump method.
Another of our listeners, Erin Jarrell, submitted a whole lot of really valuable suggestions, and goodness knows she's moved plenty of times. In her introduction, she listed 15 separate moves. Now, she's blind, and her husband is sighted, and so they get to divide up the labor according to who's most likely to do a good job of which. She said, I do most of the packing for our family, except for my husband's personal items. He does all of the uninstalling and reinstalling of things mounted on the walls, the internet setup and installation of lights that automatically turn on and off. He does a lot of the planning and helps to make things safer for me.
And you're always good about doing that for me, too. When we move into a place, you often identify the sort of pinch points and the places that might be an issue for me before I even get to check out the environment myself. And you sort of compensate and make those places easier for me.
Well, and then after we've been living in the place for a while, we identify spots that maybe are trouble points, like where you weren't sure where the top of the stairs were. So we put a runner down the hallway, and that way Pete could feel what was on the floor to identify where the top of the stairs were and make it easier for him to avoid.
And as I recall, when I kept smashing into the bed frame and knocking my ankles a number of times, you actually put some nice padding around all of that.
I did. That was not the first thing I padded. Because it's better to pad the furniture and avoid the injuries rather than having your blind husband continue to injure himself by walking into things.
And I certainly appreciate it and have benefited from your efforts for many years.
Erin also suggested that planning ahead is very important. She says, for a family move, start decluttering and giving away or selling things at least 3 months in advance of the move. You have way more stuff than you think. People with no vision may actually be at an advantage in this regard because they are touching things more often, and visually, shelves can look small, but you'd be amazed at how much stuff they can hold.
Also, after you've been living in a place for some time, you tend to collect stuff. You just don't throw stuff away. It's easier to store it than to toss it. So we found with each of our moves, it's easier and less expensive for us with the moving company to just toss stuff. Often we'd give it away to people, and that feels real good to give it to friends, relatives, etc., who can use some of what we're getting rid of.
And if we couldn't find a young person getting started in a new home, there's always a bunch of charities who will take your stuff that you no longer need and give it to somebody who does.
And that helps you to start out a little bit more fresh and kind of reboot your new environment.
And if you have the time and the energy, you can try to sell your stuff that you don't want anymore. But we opted for giving it away. So for the actual move, Erin suggests that labeling is critical. Determine a labeling system. In addition to labeling each box in large dark print with the name of the room where it goes, use different colors for each room of the house, either different colored Sharpie or different colors of duct tape. You can use masking tape or painter's tape to create tactile markings on boxes, or use Braille labels or any other system of your choice.
And that not only makes it easy for you to assign a box to a room, but when the movers are moving you, they quickly know where each box goes, so you don't have to be hauling that around later on yourself.
Yeah, I got lazy with all of this labeling, and I just put a single letter, or maybe two, on each box, so the kitchen was K, and our kids conveniently have initials A and B, so their rooms were A and B. And then I put a big piece of paper on the door of each room with the associated letter, and so the movers knew, you know, all of the A boxes went into the room that was marked A.
And that can help you get organized a bit more quickly.
Now, one special case you need to be aware of, if you're moving into another country or someplace that speaks another language, is sometimes the words in one language sound like a different word in the other language. And one of my coworkers once got bitten by this. They were moving from the United States to Germany. And of course, there were an awful lot of boxes that wanted to go into closets. Well, the word closet in Germany, if you pronounce it properly, means bathroom. And so the movers saw all of these boxes that were labeled, you know, maybe A closet, B closet, and they all went into the bathrooms. And then nobody could use the bathrooms because they were full of boxes.
Bummer.
Aaron went on to suggest some overall safety and convenience tips. She said, establish a place for your cane and your shoes right away so you can always find them.
I always keep spare canes near exit doors. So if I'm someplace and there's an emergency and I'm just running out the door and I can't go back to where my usual cane is, there's one almost by every door.
Oh, at least. Not to mention a few in the closet and one or two in the car. They're all over the place. You know, when a cane gets banged up and you don't want to use it as your primary cane anymore, well, after a while, they collect.
It's our handy cane museum.
Another safety tip she provided was to install non-skid pads on your stairs if they're slippery. And let me tell you, we have a number of friends who can see just fine who moved into houses with slippery stairs and now, well, they've healed, but they've cracked several ribs each.
And they were all sighted.
Right. And her final tip is, especially in a new home, walk slowly.
I try that, but I still walk into walls every once in a while and bust open my head. Fortunately, Nancy is good with Steri-Strips, and Nurse Nancy always patches me up.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've gotten really good at that.
But wait, there's more.
When you move into a new home, it usually comes with its own refrigerator and maybe a dishwasher and an oven and all of that stuff. And sometimes you're lucky and, you know, the house doesn't have any of that and you get to go out and buy your own. But sometimes, like with our most recent move, they had very nice appliances, but they weren't blind, so none of them were accessible.
It's a lot nicer if you can pick out your own appliances so that they are accessible. But if they're not, what do you do?
Oh, we have a massive collection of bump dots, and I used them liberally.
And you can purchase these bump dots from many of the blindness organizations or catalogs. But for example, with our dishwasher, Nancy just put a couple of bumps for the start button, and I know what that does, and the wash button, and maybe she put a different number of bumps there. So I didn't actually have to have anything that said what the function did. There's just two functions I use on the dishwasher. One is to start and one is to, say, wash.
I had to get really creative with the washer and dryer when we first moved in. They're this newfangled kind of LG washer and dryer where the knob that you would normally use to set the cycle, it just spins and there's no detents and there's no indication of where the knob started and how far you've gone unless you can see the lights. And so Pete was whining that he couldn't run the washer and he couldn't run the dryer. And finally, I got sufficiently creative and I noticed that the thing had a custom cycle option. And so I put a bump dot on the custom cycle option. I set it up so that, you know, the temperature and the time and all of this stuff was how we like it for pretty much everything. In any event, it wasn't going to ruin anything. And now, without having to deal with this totally inaccessible knob, there's three spots he has to touch, and they each have a bump dot, and they're each sufficiently spread out so he knows which is which, and he's no longer whining that he can't run the wash.
So again, someone with a vision problem would have never bought those machines, but there are workarounds, and although I can't use all the functions of the washer and dryer, who needs to know that there's 14 different cycles for washing this type of clothes and that type of clothes. I just put it on some generic setting and wash and dry my clothes. And it works fine. But if you do have the chance, of course, it's a lot better if you can go to an appliance store ahead of time, check out the buttons, make sure if there's some kind of display that you can use it, or maybe there's an app that goes along with some of these smart appliances these days, and make sure the app is accessible.
I believe some of our appliances that we inherited from the prior owners do have apps, but we have iPhones and the apps were only on Android. That's another consideration. We don't move all that often, and it seems that every time we do, technology has changed sufficiently that there's something new to consider. So the new house, well, frankly, we bought them and installed them. We put on digital door locks that we were hoping would be accessible.
And they are reasonably accessible, and it took some testing, but I can actually walk up to the door now, or as we're driving back, tell my iPhone, open the garage door. And it opens the door into the house from the garage. Or I can say, open the front door. It also comes in handy if you have visitors and you want to open a door remotely if you're not at home for somebody, or lock it.
The other thing we do if we have house guests is we temporarily assign the last four digits of their phone number as a code so they can get in and out of the house. And nobody has to write down the secret code to get into our house. So that's a really nice security feature.
And speaking of voice controlled, all of our thermostats are voice controlled also, or controlled through an app on our iPhones.
Oh my gosh, I remember decades ago there were all of these jokes around the brand new internet with this brand new thing called email, people talking about having to reboot your house. Well, let me tell you, sometimes it's actually convenient having all this stuff controllable remotely. So one day we were a couple hundred miles away and it was a hot afternoon and the sun was pouring in the west-facing windows. And it got hot in the house. And the thermostat sent us an alert and said, hey, it got above this threshold that you've set. I'm turning on the air conditioner. And I said, well, that's stupid. So I got into a different app. I told all the shades on the west side of the house to go down. The sun stopped pouring in the shades. The house cooled off. The thermostat was happy. We were happy. Life was good.
So consider using Echo devices, iPhones, Android devices to control some of the devices around your house. It can be pretty handy.
So Judy Jones, whom you heard from before, had some interesting suggestions about day one, the day you move in. Moving day can be very stressful, but there are ways you can make it less so and make your life a whole lot nicer and easier.
I thought this was a really clever suggestion. I think it's really great advice. Let's hear what she has to say.
Next, when you arrive at your location, make sure you have brought with you your first box. First box means the first things you'll probably need when you land at your new location. So in doing that, in this box, you should pack things like a roll of teepee, paper towels, trash bags, paper cups, rags for cleaners, dish soap, shower curtain with hooks, very important in case you don't have shower doors, tapes, scotch tape for temporary markings on that new microwave, oven, etc., masking tape to hang something temporarily, and duct tape to get into a box that you accidentally opened you didn't need so that you can reseal it if you don't need it right away. The other thing, too, is a light probe. We got that at NFB for $20. I don't know if they still have them, but got it through the Independence Market. So you can introduce yourself to the light switches in your new abode, turning them on, off, figuring out which works with what and how. So these are just a few little things that'll get you started in your move. Best wishes for a successful move, and thanks for listening.
I just love that idea of a first box. And oh, by the way, if you can't find a light sensor, apps like Seeing AI do have that built in, and they're free.
And I would like to add to Judy's first box, which I think is brilliant, that you should also have a box or a suitcase or something with enough clothing and supplies, you know, your toothbrush, bar of soap, your medicines, your eye drops, the stuff you absolutely need that will get you through the first few days until you can find the rest of your stuff. Because you really don't need all your sweaters if you're moving in the middle of the summer, but you do need something to wear, and you need all your medicines and a toothbrush.
So there may be some challenges to moving if you have limited vision, but there are many ways of overcoming them and making the move be a successful one.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, some general advice for a successful move. First of all, patience is paramount. It takes time to adjust, and it takes time to get your new place set up. So don't get discouraged if it hasn't happened after the first week. Second, ask for help. Don't be shy. Ask your friends, your relatives, or hire a professional, whether it's a moving company or an O&M instructor, and ask them to help you with the things you need help with.
And remember about apps like Be My Eyes and Aira, where you can get visual assistance from people who can actually see the environment around you. That can be helpful too. As for other resources, if you check the show notes for episode 2533, which is this episode, we'll have some links to catalogs of blindness products that can be very helpful in many situations. So if you go there, you'll find that, as well as links to some of the people who are sponsoring us. And our sponsors always like to know where people hear about them. And if you tell them that you heard about them from Eyes on Success, that's helpful to them and us.
That's it for this week's show.
As a last note, I just wanted to thank the listeners who made their contributions to this show. And we appreciate people helping out with the show once in a while. And it's always nice to hear their comments and put them into the show. So thanks again. If you do have suggestions and questions or want to make contributions to the show, you can always send us a note. Our email is hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be bringing back Judy Jones with her husband, Chris, both of whom are blind. They first met abroad as children when their families were stationed overseas because their fathers were in the military. They lost touch for many years, reconnected many years later, had a long-distance courtship, a telephone proposal, and got married, and they will share their journey through cross-cultural moves, parenting, working, and beating the odds together.
It's a great story they have to tell, so we hope you'll join us next week for that episode. Good luck moving, and share Eyes on Success with a friend if you like it.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.